Once like a burning prison I dwell, no freedom from my sorrow I fell. But Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God, he set me free. He set me free.
Yes,
he set me free.
And
he broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see. For glory to God, he set me free. Now I am climbing higher each day. Darkness of night has drifted away. My feet are planted on higher ground, and glory to God, I'm homeward bound. He set me free.
Yes,
he set me free.
And
he broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see. For glory to God, he set me free. Goodbye to sin and things that confound. Not of this world shall turn me around. Daily I'm working, I'm praying too, and glory to God, I'm going through. He set me free.
Yes,
he set me free.
And
he broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see. For glory to God, he set me free.
Amen. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Let's take the Word of God this morning, and we will go to Hebrews chapter number 11. In just a moment, we'll begin in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 13. So grateful that you're here today, and I am looking forward to the day that we can be back into the sanctuary. But I appreciate your patience, and I'm grateful that we have this building. What a blessing it is. You know, when we built this, we didn't know that we would need it for this time. But what a great help it has been in such a way. Pray for the Stevensons, Brother Aaron and Miss Candace. They are in North Carolina today at his dad's church there where he pastors. And just kind of the spur of a moment, the special speaker they had for today was not able to come. And so, of course, dad calls his son, you know. And so he called Aaron to come, and I said, absolutely, that's fine. So they're there, and they'll be traveling back tomorrow and all of that. But we appreciate those filling in and taking the slack there in a special way. And may God help us. This is a big month for us. There's a lot of things going on, and Sacrifice Sunday will be a lot of work being done this month on the building. And so be in prayer. We need the Lord's help and his touch. This morning, I told you last week that we would come back to the book of Hebrews because we've been journeying through Hebrews chapter 11. We're talking about the life of faith. I believe more than anything, the devil targets our faith in God. Remember, faith is placing my soul's confidence in the unchanging character of God. God does not lie. God fulfills his promises. He is faithful. His love for us never changes. We can call unto him and he hears our prayer. That is faith. We're believing God that he's working all things together for our good. Well, this morning, I want to specifically talk about the life of Jacob. Now, I want you to see something. We're going to come to it in just a moment. But the Bible gives us three names. They're kind of right in a row. And I believe there's an emphasis on Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. In fact, the Bible, in dealing with faith, tells us about these men and how they died. And I want to really speak to you on the faith of Jacob, but more specifically, I want to talk about how we can finish the race strong. And I believe Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, they finished well. I wonder today, do you want to finish well? I pray that you do. We don't know how long God has given us here on this earth, but I want to finish strong. I want to finish well. I want to finish with a life of faith, believing God, trusting Him. Let's come to Hebrews chapter 11 and let us begin, if you would please, in verse number 13. And notice what the Bible says. It says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac," notice this, "blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones." Now, if you'll notice in verses 20 through verses 22... the Bible mentions these three men, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And the Bible clearly talks about the way that they died. Now, we understand that these men lived by faith during their lifetime, although there were times when they lapsed, and there was times when I believe they were backslidden on the Lord, and they did not live by faith. But the Bible tells us how they died. They died believing God. They died trusting the Lord. And this morning, let's notice the faith of Jacob. You know something, I believe throughout the Bible, there is a tremendous emphasis in God's Word on finishing strong. Now, you know something, all of us are in a race. It's not a race against someone else. We're not in a competition, but we are in a race, a journey. The Bible talks about that. And you know something, I want to finish the race strong. I don't want to finish the race saying, boy, he didn't stay true to the Lord. You think about Demas. The Bible tells us in the New Testament that Demas, Paul said, hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. You know what? Demas started well, but he didn't finish strong. All throughout the Bible, we think of the man named Lot. And Lot was the nephew of Abraham. And Lot, we do not find him in this list in Hebrews chapter 11, because Lot, he started well. I mean, he wanted to follow Abraham and go out as God had called Abraham. But Lot lifted up his eyes towards Sodom, and we know the story of how Lot ended his life. It was a terrible life of no faith in God. How do you want to end your life? How do you want to come to the end of your journey? Well, this morning, let's notice some things about the faith of Jacob here. And by the way, folks, I pray that you desire to end your journey well. The week before, I did two funerals. And you know something? We think about their lives, how they lived their lives and how they ended their lives. I know that funerals will come and funerals will go. And if the Lord tarries His coming, all of us will go that day to our funeral. I mean, we'll be there. How do you want to finish your journey? Let me encourage you this morning to trust the Lord with your daily walk. In fact, become strong in the Lord, in your inner man. Spend time in prayer. Spend time reading and studying the Word of God. Folks, in order for us to die in faith, we must learn to live by faith day by day. Now, I want you to notice some very simple things that I believe we find about the life of Jacob, the faith of Jacob. Number one, Jacob recognized the presence of God. I think that's so important to understand. In fact, do you know that all through life's journey, we're going to be dealing with this very thought. Discerning God's presence and knowing God's work as opposed to man's work. Folks, do you discern the hand of God in your life? Jacob did. Jacob recognized at the end of his life. In fact, if you look in Hebrews chapter 11, go back to where Jacob is talking here and we see about Jacob. It says in verse 21 of Hebrews 11, it says, by faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. God gives us that analogy. Here is a man who for many things in Jacob's life, he was not a man of faith. In fact, we're going to look at that in just a moment as we go back in a little bit to the book of Genesis. But that at the end of Jacob's life, there he is. He's blessing the sons of Joseph. He is worshiping God and leaning upon the top of his staff. You know what I see there? I see a picture of a man dying in faith because he recognized the God's presence in his life. Folks, we should be able to recognize the Lord's hand in all things. Let's take our Bibles and go to Genesis chapter number 42. Let's turn back and let's look at the life of Jacob here. I wonder this week, let's just go in our minds this past week. Can you see God's hand in your life this past week? Can you recognize where the Lord answered prayer? Now, if you're not praying, you will not see the Lord answer prayer. If you're not faithing God day by day, you will not recognize God's presence. Folks, God is actively at work in your life, but there are times that we do not recognize His presence. Have you ever been somewhere before? Let's say church, and maybe you came to church and there's lots of people there, but let's say, for instance, that you came to church and so-and-so was there, but you just didn't maybe see them. How many's ever had that happen to you before? I've had that. You know what? I've called people on Monday and say, well, I sure missed you in church. And they said, Pastor, we were there yesterday. And I feel so terrible, you know. And I said, well, I'm sorry. I just did not see you. And it's hard to see everybody. Sometimes it's hard to recognize people. Maybe you haven't seen someone in a long time. You don't recognize them. Sometimes ladies change their hair color and it's hard to recognize them, you know. And some ladies, I don't really know what their real hair color is. You know, it's just really hard to tell. Years ago, we had a man in our, he was a father of a young man in our teen group. And I mean, we'd been there. We were spent 12 years there. And all the time that I knew that man, he had a beard. I mean, same beard, all of that. And his kids, I mean, his kids had only seen him in a beard. They had never seen him without a beard ever in their whole life. And he told me something on a Saturday. He called me up and he said, hey, Brother Samples, he said, I'm going to do something. He said, I'm going to shave my beard. And I said, brother, really? You know, I mean, this is like, you know, and I said, I won't be able to recognize you at church tomorrow. But he said this, he said, I want to see if my kids will recognize me at church. Because now his kids worked on the bus route, so they left early. So when they left early, he was going to shave his beard and then come to church. And he literally came to church and he put sunglasses on, you know, so they couldn't see his eyes. And he stood just in the hallway. I mean, he looked like a Secret Service type of guy, you know. And he stood in the hallway and I was standing close by just to watch because it was hilarious to be able to see this. And I saw his two boys were in my teen group and they walked by and they're like, man, I don't know who's that guy, you know? And they did not recognize their dad, you know? And I thought of it. We laughed about that for days and weeks on end because here he was. They said, I mean, I thought that guy was like, you know, maybe a bodyguard or something like that, you know? But they didn't recognize him. You know something? It's one thing not to recognize someone, but it is quite different not to recognize the hand of God. Folks, the devil wants to blind us to what God is doing. He wants to blind us to God's presence in our lives. He wants to blind us to what the Lord is doing and the circumstances that He's bringing into our life to bring us to Himself. But the devil wants to blind us to that. And if you do not live a life of faith, believing that there is a God who loves you and a God who is interested in your life and a God who has not stopped working in your life, if He blinds you to that, you're not going to die in faith. Now let's look at Jacob just a little bit. I will tell you something. There was a time in Jacob's life when he did not live by faith. We come to Genesis chapter number 42, and I want you to see something. And of course, I could read many passages here, but look in verse number 35 of Genesis chapter number 42. We come to verse 35. Now let me tell you kind of what's going on, so I don't have to read the whole chapter, but God is bringing Jacob and his family to Joseph. You know where Joseph is in Genesis chapter number 42? He's in Egypt. Joseph's been there. His daddy, Jacob, thought he was dead because you know the evil report that his brothers came back and they were envious of Joseph. They hated him. In fact, they were going to kill him. But the Bible spared Joseph's life. And God allowed a 17-year-old teenager to be taken into captivity. The Ishmaelite merchantman, he was sold by his brothers and lied about to his father that he was dead. And here is Joseph going to Egypt, betrayed, lied about, almost killed. And now he's put in terrible circumstances. But you know what? God was working in the midst of all of that. God was there. But look what Jacob says here in Genesis chapter 42 and verse number 35. And it came to pass as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob their father said unto them, look what he says, me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon it is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. Now, I want you to underline that little passage in the Bible, because can I tell you something? That is the life of fear. That is not a faith life. Here's what's happened here. We know that Joseph was sold into slavery, and of course it grieved Jacob. I mean, he was the favorite son, and Jacob loved his son Joseph, and yet here he is, bereaved of his children. The boys have gone to Egypt because God sent a famine. And God is going to bring Jacob and his children to bury the second in command, none other than Joseph himself. And they have already been back to Egypt because they need food, because there's a famine in the land. And you know the story. They go back. Joseph recognizes them. They do not recognize Joseph. And Joseph's heart is just torn. And here is God bringing all the promises to pass. And there they come back. And now Simeon is left and Joseph is gone. And Jacob says, I'm going to tell you something. Everything is against me. It goes against what I want to do. It goes against my peace and my joy. And he is saying, boys, you've robbed me of joy and blessing. And these things are against me. Can I tell you what Jacob was saying? I don't see God anywhere in all that has happened. That's what he is saying. He is saying, look what has happened. All these disastrous things. My son Joseph is gone. Now Simeon is gone. And I am just living a life of fear and frustration. And folks, let's be honest. There are times in every one of our lives to where we almost complain just like Jacob complained. Everything's against me. My family could be. It might be my health is against me. It might be a friend, a loved one is against me. And all these adverse things in life are against me. But it is a talk. It is speech of faithlessness. It is speech of saying God is not in the midst of all that is happening. Folks, there is a God in heaven who holds the reins of this universe. There is a God in heaven who knows every detail of your life. There is a God in heaven who sees everything that happens to you. And there is a God who is working all things together for your good. We can't see it, but by eyes of faith, we can recognize God's very presence. In fact, do you know that in the Old Testament, God would appear to men? Now, God does not appear to men today in the form as He did in the Old Testament because we have the complete revelation of God's precious Word. But God appeared to Abraham 7 times. But God appeared to Jacob 5 times. And let me tell you something. Every time God appeared to Jacob, can I tell you what it was for? It was for correction. It's pretty sad to be able to think about that, isn't it? Every time God had to deal with Jacob, it was to correct Jacob in his life. Folks, would it not be sad that every time the Lord has to work in our lives, it is for correction? You see, Jacob, in the early years of his life, he did not live a life of faith. He said, "Everything is against me." You know what? Some of us can even say the same thing. It's faithlessness. I've said it before. I have thought it before. And I have lived it before. That everything is against me. Nothing is going my way. Nothing is working to my good. But that is faithless talk. You see, God was at work in the life of Jacob. God was bringing things to pass. Yes, there was heartache. Yes, it was. There was pain and sorrow. But God was there bringing things to pass. But when we look in Hebrews chapter 11, here I see an old man. I see him leaning upon his staff because he can't walk very well. But I see a man worshiping God. I see a man who blesses the sons of Joseph. And by the way, we'll look at it in just a little bit. He does it the right way because he's believing in God. And can I tell you, now I see a man, Jacob in Hebrews chapter 11, standing on the threshold of eternity. He's looking back across his life. And I'm going to tell you what he's saying. He is saying, now I can see that God, who appeared to me to redeem me, to bring me out, to deliver me from evil, every time there was something disastrous in my life, God intervened. God saw me. He saw me through. He delivered me and He corrected me. Jacob recognized the presence of God. Folks, I do not know what is going on in your life. And let me just say this to you. None of us know what is going on really in the lives and hearts of every one of us here. I have burdens. You have burdens. I have trials. You have trials. We all have heartaches. We have things that we bear before God. But I want you to know something. It is not unnoticed by our Almighty God. God sees what we're going through. He has allowed it for a purpose. He is there working in our life. And yet the devil, he wants to blind us to the goodness of God. And he wants to blind us that God really is at work. You know, now Jacob stands back and he says, yeah, well, you know, God really was there. Yeah, God was in my son being taken away to Egypt. I didn't see it then, but I see it now. And now the picture has come to pass. And I'm going to tell you something. One day we all will look back and we will see the hand of God there, the hand of God there. And we will see God working day by day, moment by moment. And His will is always accomplished. Folks, today, let us recognize God's presence. I'm going to say this to you. When we do not exercise faith in God, can I tell you what happens? We fail to see God's presence. We fail to see God's presence. You know something, for years in my life, after I came to know the Lord, I kind of thought everything was kind of dependent on me. You know, if anything good was going to happen, it was going to happen to be me and my work and my labor. And you know something, I had a hard time with that. But that's not the life of faith. You see, faith is believing that God is at work. Yes, there is a faith of obedience where we trust Him, we believe Him, we honor Him. But faith is leaving it in the hands of God, knowing that He is working behind the scenes, folks. And listen, God is at work in your life this very moment. No matter what you are dealing with, no matter what you think is impossible, He is the God of the impossible. But when we fail to exercise faith in God, I'm going to tell you, we fail to see God's presence. We become just like Jacob. And we begin to complain and we begin to think, all these things are against me. I can't believe this has come to me. You know something? When we say things like that, I don't understand why this is happening. It's faithlessness. When we say, I don't understand why this is going on in my life at this time. This is against me. This is not working for my good. We are not faith in God. Because a life of faith says, and we know, that all things work together for good to them that love God. In fact, the Bible tells us in the New Testament also that all things are after the counsel of His own will. There is a God in heaven who sees and beholds. And folks, let us remove all secondary causes. And let us by faith see God's hand and recognize what is really going on. There is a God at work. A God who is bringing us to Himself. Folks, A.T. Pearson said this years ago. He's a great preacher. And he said, our disappointments are God's appointments to meet with us and to work in our lives to bring us to ourselves. Do you have disappointments? I think all of us have disappointments here. Maybe some of your parents have disappointments with your children. Maybe a husband disappointed with his wife or a wife disappointed in her husband. Maybe you're disappointed in your health condition. You're disappointed in your financial situation at this moment. Maybe you're disappointed and things are not what you thought that they were going to be. But I'm going to tell you something. In all of those disappointments, there is a loving, caring, kind, gracious, faithful God who is bringing you to Himself. And He wants to say to you today, I am there. I am working. And I'm going to work it together for your good. Jacob, recognize God's presence. I want you to know something right now. This journey of life is too great for any of us. It's just too great. It's too strong. It's too powerful. It's too heavy. I can't do the journey by myself, and I've tried. None of us can do the journey of our own. We must recognize the Lord's presence in our lives. He not only meets us at every disappointment, but I want to tell you something. He goes with us through the disappointment. I'm reminded of what George Mueller said. He was a great man of God. George Mueller said this. Would you listen to this very closely? Someone asked him one day what was the secret of his joy. I mean, he was a joyful man. The man never had any fundraising for all the orphanages that he had. I mean, just amazing amount of money. Millions of dollars were prayed in by George Mueller. And he never asked a soul. He just prayed about it. He believed God and trusted God. But he was a man who had great joy in his life. One day someone saw him walking down the street and they thought, if I didn't know that that was George Mueller, I would think it was the most carefree man, the most happy, joyous man I've ever met in my life. But they knew that George Mueller had great burdens to bear. But he said this about the secret of his joy. He said, at the beginning of every day, I make myself happy in Jesus. He said, I renew God's presence with me, singing and rejoicing in the Lord. I come into communion with God. I recognize that God is with me and I am happy in the Lord Jesus. He walks with me and talks with me and abides with me all the day through. You know what George Mueller was saying? I recognize God's presence. And folks, so often we go through days and weeks and months and maybe even years and we are just living life in our own strength. We're just trying to do the journey alone. And God never intended for us to do the journey alone. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Folks, today, recognize God's presence. Listen, the next time that something happens that's a great difficulty to you, a great disappointment, breaks your heart, sends you to your knees in prayer and tears, I want you to know God is there. Look for the hand of God. Trust in Him. In fact, I'll tell you what does it for me. It helps me. My wife and I prayed late last night together. Burdens that we bear. We pray and cry out to the Lord. And I'll tell you what it does for me. It helps me to say, Lord, I know that You're at work. Now, I can't really see it, but by faith, I believe it. And I say, Lord, I know You're at work. And I pray for wisdom, but God, I pray You'll work all this together
for my good. You know what? I'm acknowledging that God is there and He's at work. Recognize God's presence. Look, I've not lived a long time so far. 40s are still young, right? And trying to hold on to that. And now, when yesterday I had someone here looking at doing some work on the building, just some tinting on the windows and all that, but he said, I'm just in my 40s. And I said, that's still very young, you know, very vibrant, the best time of your life, you know. When I get to 50s, that's young, best time of your life. And, you know how it goes, all right? I've heard life begins at 40, 50, 60, 70, 80. I've heard it all, you know. But honestly, can I say this to you? Really, life is lived and enjoyed when we recognize that there is an almighty God, an all-sovereign God, who is at work in our life. He has not left you. He has not forsaken you. He is at work. Recognize His presence. Number two, not only do we see that Jacob, this man, died in faith because he recognized God's presence, but secondly, he rested in God's promise. Folks, do you know that we have a God this morning who has lots of promises for us, and He has never broken one promise? You know what? I've made promises before that I couldn't even keep. You know what? I could promise something this morning that I am not really capable of keeping that promise. But folks, we've all made promises and we did not keep them. But God has never made one promise to you and me that He has never kept. He keeps all of His promises. And Jacob rested in God's promise. Now, by the way, God made a promise to Jacob. God promised Jacob. You're there in Genesis chapter 42. And let's turn, if you would please, to Genesis chapter 47. All right, turn over just a few pages. And let's come to Genesis chapter 47. We'll begin in verse number 27. By the way, can I just give you an illustration? We think about the promises of God. I think about the promise of God's salvation to you and me. Do you know that God has promised us that if we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that we have eternal life in heaven forever? And I'm going to tell you something. He will not break His promise. I'm trusting in the promise of God. I'm trusting in His promise that He gave His Son Jesus, and Jesus' blood was shed for all man. And folks, when we trust in Him, we will live eternally with Him. But I want you to think about this. Do you know something this morning? You and I have no power to convert a soul. Think about the power to convert a soul. God has that power. In fact, one person said this: we have no more power to convert a soul than we have the power to create a star and hang it in the heavens. In fact, folks, it would be simpler to be able to create a star, which no man could ever do, and hang it in the heavens. But yet our God has all power this morning, and He keeps His promises. He has power to do. Listen, He is the God of the impossible this morning. You know something? This morning, when I prayed, I said, God, You are the God of the impossible. You can do what I could never do. You're the God who is at work. Recognize His presence in your life. But secondly, rest in His promise. Jacob did that very thing. Genesis chapter 47, we come to verse number 27. We'll notice, let's read a few verses. And the Bible says, "And Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions therein and grew and multiplied exceedingly. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years." I want to stop and say this to you. How old was Joseph when Joseph left the home? 17 years of age. Isn't it something? God gave him 17 more years to be with this boy. I love that. We read on here, and the Bible says, verse 28, "So the whole age of Jacob was 147 years. And the time drew nigh that Israel must die." That's Jacob. And the Bible says that he must die. "And he called his son Joseph and said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt, but I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out of Egypt, and bury me in their burying place. As he said, I will do as thou hast said. And he said, swear unto me."
and he sware unto him. And Israel bowed himself upon the bed's head. Let's go to chapter 48 and let's pick up in verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, behold, thy father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee. And Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. Is it not remarkable what he's saying? He begins with God's presence. He recognized God's presence. Verse 4, and said unto me, behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee. And I will make of thee a multitude of people and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. Before I read on here, Jacob is resting in the promise of God. He is saying, Joseph, I'm going to tell you something. God promised me something years ago. God spoke to me. He appeared to me and he promised me something. And yet it hasn't come to pass. But he said, I want you to know something, Joseph. Don't bury me in Egypt. Because this is not our dwelling place. This is not our final possession. Bury me back in Canaan land. And we know years later, God takes the children of Israel out of Egypt and he takes them to the promised land. He rested in God's promise. We read on in verse number 5. Notice what the Bible says. And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt, before I came unto thee in Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. And thy issue which thou begettest after them shall be thine and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance. And as for me, when I came from Paddan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan in the way, when yet there was but a little way to come into Ephrath. And I buried her there in the way of Ephrath, the same as Bethlehem. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, who are these? And Joseph said unto his father, these are my sons, whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God has showed me also thy seed. And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both. Now notice this very closely. Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, which was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. The Bible goes on to say, and he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all the life long to this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads and let my name be named on them, in the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Now, I want you to look right up here because I want to explain something to you. You say, Pastor, why did God put that in his word about in the last days, in the very dying of Jacob, that the Bible says he guided his hands wittingly. He knew what he was doing and he put the right hand. Now, in Bible days, a man would bless normally the firstborn. He would receive the firstborn blessing. It was something very symbolic and something very precious about that. But God had revealed to Jacob that God was going to bless the younger. We understand that the tribe of Ephraim became the mightiest tribe because that was God's way. And it was a symbol that God was choosing the nation of Israel, who was the smallest of all the people, who were not able, but that God was working through them. And God had instructed Jacob. And Jacob, by faith in God, literally, his hands were there. Joseph brought the boys. And Joseph wanted him to bless and put the right hand upon the older son.
But Jacob wittingly crossed his hands and blessed according to God's plan and God's provision. And in that moment, can I tell you what he was doing? He was resting in God's promise. He was saying, I know what God has promised. And I'm taking God at His word. I know custom says that you're supposed to bless the firstborn, but I am blessing according to God's way, the younger. I am doing what God has told me to do. He was resting in God's promise. Folks, today, Jacob knew that God had promised to bless him and that the Lord was going to keep that promise. And Jacob gave instruction that when he died, he said, don't bury me here in Egypt because this is not where we're staying. You bury me in Canaan land. And brethren, today, I wonder, do you think that God has failed to keep His promise to you? Listen, how many promises are in the Bible? There are thousands of promises in God's Word. Do you know His promise? What about the promise that He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? The promise of His presence. Sometimes we think that God has just kind of forgotten about us. But He said, I promise to never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm reminded of the book of Isaiah where the Bible says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. I love that promise. He said, I'm going to be with you. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Think of that. God's promise to you and me. His promise that He has promised to work all things together for our good. Do you rest in the promise? Look here, I believe all of us today have some unsolved mysteries in life. I do. I have some things that honestly I don't really see through my human understanding why God allowed that to happen. I just don't see it. But through eyes of faith, I am resting in the promise that He will work all things together for my good. I'm resting in the promise. Listen, let's think about the coming of Jesus Christ. The Lord truly is coming again. He has made that promise. But there have been many loved ones that have died believing in the promise, but yet the Lord has not returned. But I want you to know something. It does not change that God made a promise that Jesus is coming again. He will keep His promise. Folks, I'll tell you this. You know, the Lord has made promises to you and me. And He will keep His promises. He will not forget His promise that He has made to each and every one of us. Rest in the promises of God. Oh, listen, as Jacob was dying, he was resting in the promise of God. He knew that God was going to keep His word. Number three, the last thing this morning. How did Jacob die in faith? How did he finish his earthly journey strong? Because number one, he recognized God's presence. He rested in the promises of God. But number three, he received God's peace. Now, I think that's very important. Now, look at the man. Here he is in Hebrews chapter 11. He's leaning upon his staff. I don't know what it looked like, but he obviously, I'm sure they didn't have walkers or wheelchairs during those days. But he had a staff. And the staff steadied him. But I do not see a man who is fearful in his dying day. I do not see a man that is restless and angry and anxious. Oh no, I see a man of rest. Would you take your Bibles in closing and go to Psalm chapter number 37. Psalm chapter 37. And I want to show you something that I think is very precious. Psalm chapter 37. And I wonder, how will you die? I mean, we need to think about death because the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed unto man, once to die. We all have that appointment with death. I have been in the homes of people when they are dying many times. Years ago when I was in Illinois, I remember I was called to the home. I was just an assistant pastor at the time. And I was called to go to be with the family. I didn't really know the family. They were not members of our church. They were just family members of members in our church. But the man did not know Jesus Christ as his Savior. And we knew that. He had been witnessed to many times. He had given opportunities, been in church services where the gospel was given. But the man rejected Jesus. And in his dying moments, I remember being there. Hospice was there. I was just very young. I think I was maybe in my late 20s at the time. I had never been with anybody when they died. I just never had been. And I remember being there that day. And the man was lost. And I'm going to tell you something. That man died in fear. He died in great anxiety. He died like I've never seen anybody die, because the man knew he was going out to meet God without Jesus Christ as his Savior. You know something? That man died like I never want to die. I want to die in faith. I want to die in peace. But brethren, I want to live in peace day by day. Look at what the Bible says in Psalm chapter 37. And notice what it says in verse 37. Psalm 37, verse 37. It says this. It says, mark the perfect man. The ideal there is mark. Take note of the perfect man. And behold the upright, for the end of that man, notice it, is peace. Now the Bible uses the word perfect, not meaning sinless, but meaning complete. Mark the perfect man. Let's put it this way. Mark the man of faith. Mark him. Notice him. You know, throughout my life, I've known people of faith. I've known them. Can I tell you what I find about them? Rest. I find peace. I find there is a joy, a contentment that they have in life, because they're not trying to fight their way through life. Listen, you will either live by force or you will live by faith. The world's way is to live by force, to force your way through life, to get it the way you want it to be. But the faith life trusts God and believes God. And Jacob, here he is leaning upon that staff, worshiping God. I love it. I think if you'd have been there that day, it'd have been so peaceful, so restful. You know why? Because he's recognizing God's presence. He's saying, God was with me. Everything in my life, I'm going to tell you something, God was there. God was there. And I think one day in heaven, you know what? Maybe God will take us on a little journey. I don't know. I'm just imagining. Would you let me imagine? Sanctified imagination here real fast. But maybe the Lord could take us on a journey and say, son, remember this time? I was right there. Yes, Lord, you were there. I was working all that together. You remember this heartache? I was right there with you. Yes, I see it now, Lord. You see what I was doing in your life? But by eyes of faith right now, we can live that kind of life. We can rest in His promise and recognize His presence, that our heartaches, God knows about them. Our disappointments, He knows about them. Our trials, He is there with us. And we can live in faith and have victory, because guess what the Bible says? That there is victory in faith. Faith is the victory. Faith is what gives us joy and peace and victory day by day. It's believing in a God who cares and knows, and a God who hears, and a God who sees, a God who's faithful, a God who is just, a God who makes no mistakes. That is the God that we serve. Mark the perfect man. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said of this verse, and I read this by him, and I love what he said. In Psalm 37, verse 37, Spurgeon wrote in his great commentary that he has, he says, we may have thunder and lightning and storms of kinds in the morning and at the noonday of life. But when the sun is setting, as the sun begins to go down in our lives, there is a peace that God promises His children. You know something? That is the peace. And Jacob, at the end of his life, there he is worshiping. You see a man worshiping God, praising God, thanking God. He's leaning upon his staff. He's at rest. He's at peace because he knows that God is at work. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. When we live lives of fear and frustration, it's because we're not living a life of faith. When we live lives that we're trying to force our way through, it's not a life of faith. When we are saying, well, I tell you, everything's just against me. My children are against me. My boss is against me. This is happening, my health, all of that. It's against me. No, it is for you. The Bible says that God, He is for us this morning. He is on our side. You know what that means? He's working with you. He's working in your life. Trust Him. Believe Him and rest in Him. Folks, every person on the face of the earth, they desire to die with peace and a fulfilled purpose in life. And folks, I'm going to tell you this. Do you have peace this morning? You can. You can have the peace. By the way, there's two different kinds of peace. There's the peace with God. We get that peace with God. You know what that is? That's when we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ. But there's a second kind of peace, and many Christians live without this peace. It's the peace of God. It's that peace that we're trusting Him. We're taking God at His word. Recognize God's presence. He's there. He's at your work. He's in your home. He's there working. But rest in His promise. Know His promise. Get in His word and rest in His promise. But then you will receive that peace of God. I'll just say this to you in closing. I am so grateful that I can go to God in prayer. Well, I'm so grateful for that. I told my wife last night, I said, if I did not have this avenue to meet with God, I couldn't make it. The journey is too great. But to know that I can go into His presence. Years ago, we went through a hard time as a family, a hard time, most difficult time. And I was sitting in a courtroom one day, not knowing what was going to happen to my family, not knowing what was going to happen to a loved one. I was just sitting there observing. And inside, I was breaking. I was just, oh man, I just couldn't bear it. I was just a young teenager at the time. There was a man sitting beside me that day. He's been to our church. He lives in Tennessee. A man that so much like the Lord Jesus. I remember I just burst out into tears. I couldn't hold it. I mean, I was just at the end of it. I'll never forget that man putting his big old arm around me and holding me that day. I thought about that day for so much. You know what, that man, it was almost like, son, God is in control. And God's going to take care of everything. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm here to tell you, God did take care of everything that day. But so often, I think sometimes to myself, Lord, I'd just like to crawl up in Your lap and love You and hug You because I need You. Today, rest in His promise. Rest in His promise. Recognize His presence. But today, rest in the peace of God. He'll give you that peace. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Oh God, we need You today. Lord, You're a God who loves us, a God who cares for us, a God who is at work. And Lord, I pray today that our eyes would just be fixed on You, that we would just look to You this very moment, a look of faith, a look of trust, a look of dependence upon Thee. God, I believe here today that every individual seated in this building, You love them with an everlasting love. I believe that You're at work in our lives. Oh, we may not be able to see it, but God, by faith, we believe it. And God, will You help us as a church? Will You help me? Lord, all of us to rest in Your promise to us. May we draw nigh to You. Help us this morning. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And I want to ask you a question today. How many would be honest and say, Pastor, I've forgotten. I've been blinded by God's presence in my life. I've just kind of, all the things, it seems to be against me. But this morning, God has dealt with me. And I see that His presence is there. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? That's me, preacher. That's me. Amen. Amen. How many would say, Pastor, I'm dealing with something right now in my life that I need the peace of God to deal with? I need to faith God. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? That's me, preacher. That's me. Amen. Well, I want you to know you can bring it to the Lord. You can lay it at His feet. You can trust Him for it. How many here this morning would say, Pastor, I do not know Jesus as my Savior. And today, if I died, I don't know where I'd go. Pray for me this morning. No one is looking. But will you let me pray for you today? Will you be honest and say, Pastor, I don't know where I'd go if I died today. And God has dealt with me. Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? That's me, preacher. Would you pray for me this morning? Amen. Thank you. I appreciate your honesty. Who else? Pray for me this morning, Pastor. I do not know where I'd go if I died today. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? I want to encourage you. If you raised your hand, I saw it. But more importantly, the Lord saw it. I'm going to ask you in a moment when we stand to sing to leave your seat and come and meet me here at the altar. We'll be able to take the Bible and show you how to know for sure that you're going to heaven. But brethren, if God has dealt with you today, He's touched your heart, I beg of you to leave your seat and come in just a moment. Sit on this pew and spend time with the Lord. Trust Him. Surrender to Him. And let Him do His work. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Can I pray with us together? Let's pray together and then we're going to sing. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your love, Your mercy, Your grace. We thank You to know that, Lord, You're there at work. I'm so grateful how Jacob recognized Your presence and he rested. And then he died in rest and peace. Lord, I pray that we all desire that. May we bring our burdens to You. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. The piano is going to begin to play. Before we sing, I'm going to ask you to leave your seat and come. Would you come at this moment? Let's take our hymnals, would you please, and go to hymn number 392. Brother Dan's going to come to lead us. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Let's sing it together. If God has dealt with you, leave your seat and come.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon Him.
Just remain standing there. I want to thank you for your faithfulness today. And we've been praying for so many. I see Mac Wright and his family here. And of course, his mom just went home to be with the Lord just recently. Continue to pray for them. And I'll be in the home today of Eileen Wegstein. This is a lady who was a close friend of Midge West who just passed away. And they've given her just 3 weeks to live. So I'll be there today. So pray for me during that time. And pray for us throughout this week. We need the Lord's help. And I trust you can be here tonight. I've got a message I want to bring to you on this same subject of faith. And believing and trusting in God. And let's trust Him for it. And Brother Dan, would you come and close this word of prayer? My wife and I will greet you outside. As long as we can, we'll be outside. All right? And so, okay.
Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank You for the day that You've given us an opportunity to gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ in Your house. We thank You, Father, for how You were lifted up in this message this morning. Father, might we be mindful of putting our trust in You, of resting in the promises of God. You've never failed us yet. And we just trust now that you would guide and direct us this week, that the burdens, that those difficulties we're going through, Father, that we would be quick to put them on you and leave them in your hands. Thank you again for the promises of your word, the surety, Father, of your word. Thank you that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We just trust that you'll go with us today, that you'd bring us back to our appointed time tonight as we hear the word preached once again. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You are dismissed.